This morning I've made a number of references to Palm Sunday and to all the events that lead up to Easter and the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And with that in mind, during this week I want to preach, as it were, a mini-series connected with all the events of the coming weekend. I want in particular to look at a verse in Scripture that I used to open our service this morning. That verse is Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21. Matthew 16 and verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. This series, I've actually called Easter, was not an accident. Easter was not an accident. The facts are that the events of Easter are the central message of Christianity. People today in many church buildings will go to church, they will think of Palm Sunday, they will leave with a cross made of palm leaves, and in a way that will be the end of their consideration of these great events. But I don't want to get caught up with palm leaves and palm crosses this morning. But what I want to do is to step back from these events and to look at them and to consider afresh what actually happened on that first Easter. Look at the events that led up to the rejection, the betrayal, the mock trial of our Lord Jesus Christ, his crucifixion, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Now, we all know the saying, familiarity breeds contempt, and that is no more true than in an event like this. We all know the events of Easter. For those of us who have grown up in the church, we have heard it taught and preached on for decades, many of us. And yet, we can become so familiar with it that it loses its significance. In a way, this year, I want us to look at the events of Easter and to ask the question, how can I look at these stories again and leave church with a burning desire to fulfill the great commandments to love God and to love my neighbor? Or similarly, to fulfill the great commission and to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. Because that is what Easter is all about. It is about God's love for this world. It is about our love for him. It is about our love for other people. People that we know today and people, God willing, that we will come to know in maybe the immediate future or the more distant future, but people that God will bring across our paths. This morning, in particular, I want to look at the opening verses, the opening words of this verse. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples. And the real point that I want to make at this with this message this morning is that Easter was not an accident. It happened at the right time. It happened at the time that God had planned. It didn't happen at the time that Judas planned. It didn't happen at the time that the scribes and the Pharisees planned. It didn't happen at the time when that the soldiers had planned. It happened at the time that God had planned. Our reading this morning, or the text that I've used, had nothing to do with that last week of the life of Jesus. It was 18 months before. Jesus had been preaching for 18 months. And I'm using approximate terms there. And he had been teaching his disciples. He'd got to this point, and he realized from the questions that he had asked earlier, "Who do men say that I am?" And they'd given their answers. Peter had given his great answer, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." When Jesus had brought the people to this point, he then says, "I've got something to tell you. We are going to start a journey now that is going to lead to the fulfillment of my life and the completion of my purpose." And this verse summarizes that. Jesus begins to explain that the word here, "show," means, as it were, to open their eyes, to explain to them. And you can only explain something when you understand it, when you have been taught yourself, when you know how it works, when or how it's all going to work out. Jesus began to show. He knew what God's purpose was. He knew what the plan for his life was. And from that time, now again, we look at that short statement, "from that time," and we say, "Oh, well, it's just an adverbial clause. It's telling us when this happened." Well, I was staggered when I was preparing this message. Matthew actually uses this term 89 times in his gospel. He's got 28 chapters, so with a little bit of maths, roughly just over 3 times in every chapter. Now, there are more uses in some chapters, less uses in others. But Matthew was a man who was concerned with time. There were no accidents. It didn't just happen. He showed from beginning to end that God had a purpose. Excuse me, I think I have to loosen this. And we've got this situation where the Lord Jesus Christ is moving on. He has used exactly the same term, Matthew has, just before Jesus called his disciples back in Matthew 4. Jesus had been baptized, and he had been tempted, and then he comes to call his people. He call his disciples. And from that time, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So he's been preaching that for 18 months. And now he's saying, "I've shown you what the kingdom of heaven is like. I now want to show you what the kingdom of heaven is going to mean for me." Jesus, in this short verse, and in the chapters that lie ahead, show his concern and his priorities. First of all, this morning, I want to show you, Jesus cared about God. Jesus cared about God. He's here explaining to his disciples that he's got to go to Jerusalem, that he's got to suffer, that he will die, that he will be raised from the dead. Why is he at pains to do that? He's at pains to do it because he knows that this is God's will. You might say to me, "Bernard, God's not mentioned in this passage." And he isn't. But our Lord Jesus Christ had been brought up in a disciplined, believing home. Joseph wasn't his natural father. The Holy Spirit was. Mary was his mother. But from the word go, Mary and Joseph had brought up this young man in such a way that he fulfilled all righteousness. He kept the laws of the Old Testament. He kept the revealed will of God. He believed that God had his purpose for his life, and from the word go, he was committed to trusting and following God his Father. At the age of 12, he knew that there was something significant about his life, and he was ready to follow God. And I want to say to the young people this morning, you might look around a congregation like this and say, it's all to do with old people. No. It is to do with every human being. Jesus was 12. And as a human being, he said, I am willing to follow God. And that has to be the case for every young person here this morning. Jesus was like Timothy. And we're told about Timothy that he grew up in a family where he had been taught the scriptures from a very early age. But Jesus, even before he was born, it was obvious that Matthew wanted to tell us that he had a special significance in God's purposes. Matthew tells us in chapter 1 and verse 21, you will call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. The time shows that God cares about people. He sent his son to save. When Jesus was a baby and he was brought into the temple and thanks were given for him, the old man Simeon blessed him and he said, this child is set for the rising and fall of many people. And his parents were again reminded that God cares about humanity. Jesus cared about God's will for his life. When Jesus was approximately 30, his cousin John the Baptist had become a well-known preacher. And as this preacher, he would preach in the Jordan, and one day he saw the Lord Jesus Christ walking along, and he said to the crowds, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus had grown up with these constant reminders of God's will for his life, and he cared. Jesus cared to do the will of God. Friends, let me ask you this morning, do you care about the will of God? Do you know the will of God? Are you concerned to do the will of God? The human being called Jesus of Nazareth, we are told that although a son, he learnt obedience through what he suffered. Jesus, God and man. God, as the hymn writer says, contracted to a span, and yet a full human being. This story tells us that Jesus cared about God because he was going to show his disciples what God's will was for his life. The life of Jesus can be summed up in the words of John chapter 6. The Son of Man has come down from heaven, not to do his own will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus, we are told, from that time, began to show his disciples. He began to explain to them. He began to help them to understand both the will of God for him, and the will of God for them. The will of God for him, and the will of God for the world. The will of God for him, and the will of God for us. Jesus cared about God. Friends, do you care about God? As you plan your life, as you think about your careers, as you think about the events of each year, where does God come into it? From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples. So secondly, Jesus cared about God, but Jesus cared about people. Jesus understands our nature. As I said to you earlier, he called his disciples and for 18 months he had taught them about the character of God and the character of human beings. He had shown the holiness of God and he had shown our proneness as human beings to do our own will rather than the will of God. He had lived not in luxury, but he had lived in poverty. The writer to the Hebrews says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and grace, and find grace to help in time of need." Friends, this morning, you may be new to our church, and again, I want to welcome you if you are amongst the new folk who are here this morning. I want to show you a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who cares about people. The Old Testament spoke of the holiness of God. When God gave his commandments, he appeared as a fire. When he called Isaiah the prophet, he appeared in all his holiness. And yet, when Jesus came into the world, we are told the Word, another way of describing Jesus, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus came. He came and lived as we live. The Apostle John, who followed Jesus for 3 years, could write at the end of his life, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands." What was he saying? He was saying Jesus was a real human being. Jesus understands when we get thirsty. Jesus experienced tiredness. He experienced hunger. He experienced the pain of bereavement. When he was rejected a few days after Palm Sunday, he knew the pain of rejection. At the height of his ministry, we're told in John 6, there were vast crowds following him, but he began to preach with conviction, and we're told people turned away and left him. And Jesus turned to his disciples and said, "Will you also go away?" The disciples said, "To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Jesus cares about people because he understands people. This morning, friends, Jesus knows what you are going through. He cares, and he wants you to know that he cares. Many people see Jesus as a strong teacher who knew what he believed and could win all the arguments. But Matthew tells us he will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not quench until he brings justice to victory. What does that mean? A bruised reed he will not break, a smouldering wick he will not quench. Jesus is using pictures to describe people. And perhaps this morning you are feeling like a bruised reed, a damaged piece of grass that grows beside the river. You feel as though you cannot take anything more in life. The pressures are building up. A smouldering wick. It's a picture of an oil lamp where the wick has burnt down, maybe the oil has grown shallow in the dish and it's ready to go out. Do you feel like that? Have you felt like that this week? That you cannot take any more. The Lord Jesus Christ cares about you. And he's not going to crush you. He's not going to blow you out. He's not going to break you off like that reed and say, you are useless. No, the psalmist says he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. The night that Jesus was betrayed, he shared the Last Supper, the communion, with his disciples. And he said to them, what I'm doing now, you don't understand. But afterward, you will understand. And is that you this morning, friends? You're not quite sure why God is allowing you to go through this. All I can say to you is, he cares. He understands. He has walked this path. He knows the pain. Jesus cared about people. Jesus cared about his people. And this is where we move to the third point of this message this morning. He's explaining to his disciples. I said to you that this same term from that time had been used back in Matthew 4, where Jesus had said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. We are so familiar with that call that it's easy for us to think that the disciples were experts in Christianity, experts in religion. They weren't. They needed to be taught. We need to be taught. We need to know more about God. We need to know more about his word. We need to see more of his power. And Jesus did that time and time and time again. Mark tells us he went up onto the mountain and he called to him those whom he desired. And they came to him and he appointed 12 whom he also named apostles so that they might be with him. Friends, do you see that? Jesus was not a teacher in a Bible school. Jesus was not a professor in a university. Jesus was a friend who taught by example. He taught by relationship. And that is what he says to us this morning, that he wants to be with us. Have you lived your life without Christ? Even as a believer, you say, well, I gave my life to the Lord Jesus so many years ago. But have you lived with him, friends? Do you know what it is that Mark writes about here, that he called these disciples that they might be with him? He wants to share your life. He wants to be involved in your life. Many of us are private people, and we don't want others into our lives. And we have that right. But the Lord Jesus Christ called disciples to be with him. And then, friends, at the end of his life, not on Palm Sunday, but on what many today call Maundy Thursday, he'd celebrated the Last Supper with his disciples. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And there he said to his disciples, stay with me and pray with me. And yet they came back. He came back having prayed. And he said to his disciples, so could you not watch with me 1 hour? This might seem blasphemous to some of you, but he needed to be with people. He had called people that they might be with him. But at the end, at the time of his suffering, he needed them to be with him. Do you understand, friends? Jesus came into the world not to keep us at a distance, not to put us under his judgment and to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Jesus came in order that he might teach us, in order that we might be drawn to him, in order that we might be with him. Friends, at the beginning of this week, the Lord Jesus Christ says to every unconverted person in this building this morning, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says to every believer who has forgotten their first love, who has been taken up with the pressures of their own family life, who have known the pain that there is in this world, Jesus says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Jesus still calls people today with exactly the same intention, that they might be saved from their sin, that they might be saved from their sinful ways, and that they might be saved from the consequences of sin. Friends, as we prepare for Easter, let us thank God for his Son, who became a man, who lived among us, who was committed to doing God's will, but at the same time was committed to caring for and saving all who come to him. Friends, this morning, before we come to the communion table, and the communion table is for all who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. If you don't know him, you can stay with us, but we suggest that you pass the bread and the wine when it is distributed. But for those of you who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, you, like us, can come in faith, knowing that we feed on him by faith, and he is the one who strengthens us. Amen.